spoon. In this case, the top reflects the floor and the bottom reflects the ceiling. What does this mean? It means your reflection appears upside down. This moment of science comes from Indiana University. Today's program was prepared by Eric Sonstrom with help from Harold Ogren in physics. For a moment of science, I'm Don Glass.
Support for programs on WILL comes from the Beckman Institute on the U of I campus. The Beckman Institute 20th anniversary celebration will be held on Thursday, April 16th, beginning at 3 p.m. in the Beckman Institute auditorium. The celebration is open to the public.
It's 2:41 in sports this afternoon. The New York Giants have released Super Bowl hero Plaxico Burress a little more than 4 months after the talented but troubled wide receiver accidentally shot himself in the thigh at a New York City nightclub last November. Burress's four-year tenure with the Giants was highlighted by a game-winning touchdown catch in Super Bowl 14 months ago, but it was also dogged by fines and suspensions. Burress's status has been uncertain since he shot himself. He faces a felony weapons charge that could put him in prison for at least 3.5 years if he's convicted. The leader of Chicago's bid for the 2016 Olympics says an IOC delegation will see this weekend just how compact the games would be if they're held there. Pat Ryan used a touchscreen monitor today to highlight how close the venues will be to each other and the city's cultural attractions. He touts Chicago not only as a global city but a city of ethnic diversity and points out that among 15,000 volunteers, 65 languages are spoken. The IOC team will be in the city until Tuesday, and they'll tour proposed venues over the weekend. Chicago is the IOC's first stop on its tour of four candidate cities, including Rio de Janeiro, Madrid, and Tokyo. The winner will be selected in October. Bill Self, the former Illinois coach who led Kansas to the national championship last year and had the Jayhawks back in the title hunt this season, is this year's Associated Press College Basketball Coach of the Year. Self lost all five starters from the championship team, left him to work with two veterans and eight newcomers, but they won the Big 12 championship and wound up in the Sweet 16. A new 7-year deal for Missouri men's basketball coach Mike Anderson has been approved by the university board. Anderson will earn $1.35 million next year and an additional $200,000 in deferred annual payments. The third-year coach led Missouri to a school record 31 wins and a Big 12 conference tournament championship this year. Baseball's exhibition season is winding down with the Cubs in New York today to break in the new Yankee Stadium with the New York Yankees in an exhibition game. The White Sox are still in Arizona. They'll be taking on the Arizona Diamondbacks at their home stadium, Chase Field, in the first of two exhibition games. And the Cardinals are in Memphis for the first of two games with their minor league affiliate. And that's a look at sports.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Radio Maria Restaurant in downtown Champaign, now serving dinner and tapas nightly starting at 5 p.m., along with Friday and Saturday lunch and brunch menus. Registration is available for emails on news, menu changes, and upcoming special events.
This is the AM 580 Afternoon Magazine. I'm Tom Rogers. The 75-page indictment handed down yesterday against former Governor Rod Blagojevich and five co-defendants made fascinating reading for a University of Illinois law professor. Andrew Leopold is an expert on criminal law and the federal judicial process. He told AM 580's Jim Meadows that the indictment alleges a conspiracy to defraud people and extort money dating back to the very start of the Blagojevich administration.
The prosecution sees this as not simply a corrupt governor, but sees this as a wide-ranging problem of corruption that included, according to the indictment, not only the governor, but some of his advisors, some of his political friends, and that this is not just a single guy doing a bad thing. This is a pattern. And in fact, one of the claims in the indictment is that the Blagojevich enterprise engaged in a pattern of racketeering activity under the so-called RICO statute. And so bringing all these other figures into the single indictment, which suggests that it will be tried as a single case, means that the government wants people to see this as a whole issue, a whole problem, and not just let's prosecute former Governor Blagojevich.
Are these charges different in kind or degree from the charges on which George Ryan was convicted?
The basic point is that you can't use your public office to extract private gain. And so in that respect, they're similar. Obviously, the details are different. The claims that the governor and the other five defendants, as I said, this is not just about former Governor Blagojevich, the idea that this was a widespread pattern of influencing state government, as opposed to at least some of the charges against former Governor Ryan, those are a little bit different in kind.
How are they different? Could you say some more about that?
Well, you'll recall, and I don't have the precise details of the Ryan charge in mind, but there were allegations that Governor Ryan would, I don't know, take vacations or have things done for his personal gain, and he would do things for people in return for that. That's a little bit different in degree, and I'm not minimizing the charges against Governor Ryan, but that's a little bit different than what the government has alleged in the current case, which is, according to the government, at the time he took office the first time, the governor, Governor Blagojevich, and some of the other co-defendants had a plan in mind to basically use the governor's office to defraud the people, to enrich themselves, to exercise control over the state agencies, to exercise control over the state teachers' retirement system, much, as I recall, much greater in scope than what was alleged against Governor Ryan.
What happens next in the legal process, and what sort of questions are coming to your mind as you look at, you know, what's going to be happening in the next few weeks and months with this case?
The first thing that comes to mind is any time you have six defendants, one of whom has already acknowledged that he'll be cooperating with the government, the question is, will the remaining five, will they stand together and present a united front? Will they separate and point fingers at each other? Will some try to take a deal and try to point the finger that way? It's very hard to predict at this point because you have five or six, depending on if you count Mr. Harris or not, five or six defendants who, of course, have their own interest at heart. They've got to do what's best for them. What that will mean remains to be seen. It will depend on the advice of counsel. It would depend on what the facts actually are, which at least none of us know for sure at this point. And so seeing the dynamic among the defendants and how quickly they fall apart or hang together, that's one of the interesting stories to come.
University of Illinois law professor Andrew Leopold discussing the federal indictment handed down yesterday against former Governor Rob Blagojevich and five co-defendants. He talked with AM 580's Jim Meadows. It's the Afternoon Magazine on WILL AM 580. It's 2:48. Kindness shared between a boy and a dog. That's the subtitle of a children's book that's just come out called Nico and Lola. It's written by, written and photographed by a pair of women who are in the Chicago suburb of Barrington, and they've joined us to talk about the book and why it was written and what we hope to get out of it as kids and as adults who read to kids, which is just as important, I guess. Megan Hill is the author of Nico and Lola. It was photographed by Susan Gronke, and they both join us on the phone this afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Tell me a little about how the book got off the ground, because the subjects of the book are people you know, I take it.
They are. Nico's my son, and Lola.
People and dogs. not two people.
That's right. It's not two people. The story is about a little boy and a dog, right. And Sue and I are both moms. I love reading to my young children, and we thought that it would be really fun to try to do a book that was about a character trait, but we wanted it to be exciting and different and to be one of those books that we hope children would want to hear over and over again.
What was the nugget that sort of started off the idea to do the story? How did you determine that this would be interesting to write a book about, something that would captivate kids' attention?
Well, the story actually happened right in front of us. My son actually got to take care of Sue's dog, and
okay.
So the story is about a journey between a boy and his dog, and their friendship, and how they're kind to one another. And so kindness is this, you know, large concept that sometimes for children can be very difficult to understand. You know, we say, be polite, be nice, you know, to our kids, be good. And, you know, kindness is such a big idea for little children to try to grasp. And so what this book does is through the photographs and through the story, it shows exactly what kindness is. And the way Sue and I laid it out is each page draws out a conclusion of the abstract message of kindness.
And your field of study is in psychology, so you have a little you've sort of employed that in how to write the book.
I did. Sue and I really hope that it's a book that children and parents and teachers and any caregiver of children can use and use wisely, as far as there's some teachable moments in the book where we're hoping that it will really be a springboard for conversations between parents and teachers and their children about what kindness is.
Now, Sue Gronke, as Megan mentioned, this book kind of played out in front of you. How did you go about taking the photographs and once the story played out, I guess, bringing the book to life?
Well, the photographs basically had a life of their own. Uh-huh. I was just along for the ride. They say, what is it saying? Never to work with children and pets. And of course, we chose to work with both of them.
That was the next question I had: children and pets. And you were able to get some very touching photographs it's tough to pose them. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, everything I planned out for the day, got tossed into the wind. They had, Nico and Lola had their own agenda, and I just had to be at the right place at the right time and run after them. And, I mean, they run fast, those two little ones, and just get down on the ground. And, I put the camera up, and you can just, as Megan was saying earlier, it came to life all on its own. I mean, you could just see the kindness happening between the two of them right before your very eyes.
Now, Nico is how old?
Nico's 3 and a half.
He's 3 and a half, and Lola is a 7-year-old pug. Is that correct? A black, little black pug.
Yes.
And did you felt before you even got the idea for the book that there was a little special bond between these two?
Absolutely.
Yeah, there definitely was a special bond. And I think that's what, we saw that taking place in the way that they would play together and be outside together. And you just saw it grow. I mean, I think every child is, that's fortunate enough to own a pet really can learn a lot of life lessons. And you could just see that take place right before your very eyes.
How have kids reacted so far? Because, as an adult, I felt a little bond in this book. It was entertaining to look at. How do kids react?
Well, our goal is, when Sue and I were working on this project, was wouldn't it be great if we could have a book where, children finished it and closed it, and maybe they asked their parent or their grandparent, was I kind today? And some conversations could really start in a family or in a classroom or in a library about what kindness is. And what the book does is it gives specific examples. Being kind is sharing, or being kind is taking turns. And the storyline wraps around each little message, each little way that a child can be kind.
How about the issue of pet ownership? Obviously, we were talking about a child and pet relationship. Does this prompt kids to, tug on mom or dad's shirt and say, hey, I'd like a dog?
Well, it's funny because when we laid out the pictures and we're wrapping the story around the concept of kindness, the unintentional byproduct that came up with it was that we had a manual, a how-to manual to introduce your child to a new family pet. And, so the secondary byproduct is it does teach kids how to be a responsible pet owner, how to take care of your animal. And when you have those kinds of relationships with your pet, I think those carry over into your adult life. You learn to be kind as you're going through life.
So the learning process begins even at a young age, 3 and a half, even younger than that.
Kindness is the foundation, I believe, it's the foundation of every relationship you have in your life.
You have some open houses that you're going to have with the books in the Chicago suburbs. You're going to be in Oak Park tomorrow, I think, and I don't have the list right here, but in Libertyville in the Chicago suburbs, north suburbs, tonight or tomorrow?
We're actually at Anderson's tomorrow at 11 o'clock doing a reading and a signing, and then we are in
Oak
Park.
That's in Naperville. Okay. The Magic Tree
is tonight.
Okay.
It's 7 o'clock, and it's late night with Lola for children to wear their pajamas, hear a great story, and hopefully get to meet and see Lola in person.
Oh, so you're going to bring Lola out to the event, huh?
She does go to the event.
How does she do with kids, besides, you know, many kids all at once?
She just loves it. We had her at a book signing this morning, and she just wandered through the whole crowd like she was somebody very important.
Because that can be tough. Not only do the kids and the dogs, the dog has to be a subject of photography, but she becomes a bit of a celebrity, I guess, and has to work well around many people.
Yeah, she does really, really well. She had a little issue with barking this morning, but we got that under control.
Well, it was a very nice book. It was a nice break for an adult reader on a cold afternoon. But it's certainly could be a treasured book for a child as well. The name of the book is Nico and Lola: Kindness Shared Between a Boy and a Dog. It is published by, let me find the publisher here. Genuine Prints, LLC. And you can find that at bookstores. And again, you'll be appearing at the Magic Tree Bookstore in Oak Park tonight at 7 o'clock and at Anderson's Bookshop tomorrow morning in Naperville in the Chicago suburbs. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Megan Hill and Susan Gronke. And say hi to Lola for me, too, and Nico as well.
Earth and Sky.
On chimpanzee mind, their intelligence is so flexible.
You are listening to Tetsuro Matsuzawa of the Primate Research Institute at Kyoto University in Japan. Matsuzawa trained chimps to recognize the numbers 1 to 9. He found that they outperformed college undergrads in a short-term memory test.
I tested 3 young chimpanzees at the age of 5.
Random numbers appeared on a touchscreen. After a fraction of a second, the numbers were masked by white squares. The chimps remembered the location of the numbers and were able to touch them in numerical order.
And I did test up to 8 numerals. And the young chimpanzee had no problem at all. But if you test undergraduate students in a college, 5 numerals already very difficult.
The undergrad's accuracy dropped to 40%. Matsuzawa said that learning about the chimpanzee mind can tell us something about ourselves.
You can easily recognize the similarity between us. So humans, animals, we should be living together, peacefully coexisting, sharing this beautiful planet Earth.
Our thanks today to Tetsuro Matsuzawa. I'm Jorge Salazar for Earth and Sky, a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.
Next time on The World, the Soviet occupation of Afghanistan. Moscow sent troops there in 1979. They left a decade later defeated. Now, U.S.-led